Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Our text will be found in verses 12 down through verse 15. We can begin reading here in verse 10, though. And the title of the message this morning is Christ, Our Ladder. Christ, Our Ladder. And we'll see that the meaning of this in just a minute. Verse 10 says, And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and to thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now in this place we read of Jacob having fled from Esau, his brother, after obtaining the birthright and the blessing by deception. You remember he tricked Esau, and Esau sold that birthright for a bowl of beans. And he tricked Isaac into giving him the blessing, and Esau, being angered, sought to kill him. And Jacob fled to this place after he had been manifest to be the chosen vessel of God, to be the one by which the Messiah should come. He flees to this place, Haran, and he sets up a stone behind his head, a pillow, and he goes to sleep. And he dreams. He's been given a dream, a vision. And he dreams of a ladder that is set upon the earth, and this ladder reaches all the way to heaven. And he sees God, the Lord, standing above this ladder, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And God gives him many blessed promises. He says, this land that you're on, I'm going to give it to you. He said, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I swear I'll be with you, and I won't leave you until I give you what I promised. What was this for? Why was he given such a dream? Well, I want you to see this is the main point of the message. And if you get nothing else, you should get this. The vision of the ladder has one meaning, one purpose. And that is to show us Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ladder. He is the one by which we are able to approach unto God. The ladder that was set upon the earth and reaches heaven is Jesus Christ. One preacher said this. He said, blessed is the man who has the key to understand the Scriptures. You know, we used to have those maps you'd unfold, and they'd have legends over there. They were keys. You know, you didn't understand any of the symbology. You didn't understand any of that without the key. And you listen, you will not understand this book if you don't have the key. A lot of people read this book, study this book, and do not understand this book. Why? They don't have the key. They don't understand what the book is for. I tell you, the key is Christ. The key is Jesus Christ. He is the sum and the substance of this book. Now, you can go to this book and you can find a lot of decent, good things to live by. That's what people usually go to the Bible for. They say, how am I going to live? Well, let me look at the Bible and see how I live. The book is not how to live. The book is about Christ. The book is about the Son of the living God. That's what the book's about. If you miss this, you miss the whole purpose of the book. You don't understand the book if you don't understand it's Christ. Just to show you this, I'm not making this up. This is not something I... One thing I don't do is I don't make up things. I'm not very good at it. I'm not very imaginative. So let's go over to Luke. Go over to Luke's gospel. And I want you to see this. And very important to know that this is a symbol, is a picture, it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Luke chapter 24. You remember our Lord had died and His disciples were very fearful and afraid and they didn't understand. They thought Christ should live forever. They thought that Christ should not die. What happened? They didn't understand. And the Lord appeared to them in the flesh. And He asked, why are you so sad? In verse 25, He says, oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And listen, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures. What? How to live? How to do good? What did He expound them? In all the Scriptures, things concerning Himself. This book is about Christ. And if you miss that, you miss the whole book. He later in that same chapter told His disciples, He said those words in verse 44, those words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, what? Which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning who? Me. Me. The book is about Christ, friends. And if you miss that, you miss the whole point. If you think that Jacob dreamed about some physical ladder, what good is that to you? What good is that to your soul? It's not of any value at all. The ladder is Christ. The ladder is Christ. And I like this back in Luke. He said, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. You see this? I want you to understand this. You will never understand the Scriptures. You will never know that they are about Christ until God opens your understanding. You see how helpless man is? Man is helpless to understand anything. Man is educated, but man cannot understand the Scriptures no matter how much education he has. Except God open your understanding. And when God opened your understanding, this book opens up like a flower. It's beautiful. You begin to read the Old Testament and you begin to see all of these lambs and goats and sheep. They're not lambs and goats and sheep to us. They're pictures of Christ. They're pictures of His blood, of His righteousness, of His work, of His salvation. I tell you, how many today know theology but don't know God? How many have no understanding? They claim to believe in God, but have no understanding of the pardon of Christ, the blood of Christ and His work. Which work was written in the prophets long before it was accomplished. We're reading of a prophecy that was given thousands of years before Christ came and actually accomplished the work. But I tell you this, to one who is not born again of the Holy Spirit, they don't understand this. They have no love for the gospel of Christ. They have no love to hear of Christ. They love to hear about themselves now. That's true. If I want to go to the Bible, I got to hear about myself. I got to hear about how good I am or what I need to do. I need to be me. No, it's all about Christ. And if it's not about Christ, you've missed the book. You've missed the whole purpose. The whole book's about Christ. But one who is born again, we see this. I see this clearly. Every time I open the Scripture, I see Christ. You know, because I look for Him. I look for Him. It's because God has opened our understanding. And throughout this text, as well as all the Old Testament, if this is just about Jacob and that land in Palestine, what good is that to you? If this is just a history, what good is that to the souls of men? Does you no good, does it? This book is more than just a history book. It's not just a book of interesting stories to be made into movies. That's what Hollywood's doing now. They're taking the Old Testament. They're running out and making stories, taking the stories of the Old Testament and saying, oh, look, we're worshiping God. No, you're not. If you can't find Christ in that story, you're not worshiping God. This book is much more about than laws of how to be moral. This book, the key to this book and understanding it is to know that it speaks of Christ. You remember those Pharisees? They thought they knew the Scriptures, didn't they? Well, those people could quote the whole Old Testament from their youth, and they didn't know Christ. They didn't understand Christ. And what did Jesus say? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Listen, they are they that testify of Me. And all who will not find Christ in this book from cover to cover, you search the Scriptures in vain. They're empty to you. They don't mean anything. Christ is all in the Scriptures. Now then, look at the key. Let's go ahead. Since we've got the key to understanding this vision, now then let's deal in and look at the vision itself. First of all, the ladder. The ladder. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Friends, Christ is this ladder that was set up upon the earth and reaches to heaven. I want you to think about the length of this ladder. How tall was it? How tall was it? How high is heaven above the earth? Well, you remember that heaven is where God sits. Heaven is where God sits. It's where God's throne is. And the earth is the place of man. It is cursed because of sin. You remember the Scripture says, wherefore as by sin, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Therefore, man by nature is separated from God. I want you to see that. That's the distance. How far is man separated? How far has man fallen from God? You listen, as far as the heavens are above the earth. As far as the heavens are above the earth. Scripture tells us that no man is righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Man cannot understand. Man cannot come to Christ. Man is dead. How far? You think of a dead man laying out, and you were to have some miracle potion that could give him life. Put it ever so close to his hand, but how far is it from his mouth? It is an eternity away from his mouth. He could never take it. He could never use it. It is infinitely far, though it be close. Listen, the gospel is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Yet man cannot believe except God give him life to believe. How far is that? It is an eternity away. It's an eternity. It's a far distance. And in this scene before us, Jacob, you know, he pictures the elect. He pictures all God's chosen people. He was chosen and loved of God from eternity. Paul tells us that in Romans 9. He was chosen and elected of God. But you listen, at this point in his life, he had never heard from God. He had heard the word. He had heard the promises by his mom's mouth. His mom had told him the promise that he was to be the one. That he was to be the one. And Jacob believed his mom's promises, but God had never spoken to Jacob. Not until now. Here it is. Now God speaks to Jacob. At this point, Jacob was lost. Isn't that what God says in Deuteronomy 32? He said, I found Jacob in a waste, howling wilderness. So too are all of the elect of God lost at birth. Though we were chosen and redeemed in Christ, we were born dead in sins. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We all had our conversation in time past in that. We all walk in that by nature, born dead in sins. Sinner, do you see the distance then between you and God? Can you see the distance that your sin has separated you from God? It is as far as the heaven is above the earth. That's how far man is separated from God. Many of you have heard of Christ. You've heard of the grace of God. You've heard of the blood atonement of Christ that forgives sins. And yet men still refuse to come. Still refuse to bow down. Still refuse to worship Christ. To believe on Him. You're still walking after the sins and lust of your flesh, still surrounded, still will not surrender and bow to Christ. You will not give up your religion of free will works salvation. We by nature, men desire Christ to be like themselves, equal. That's what man wants Christ to be. He wants Christ to be his equal. He wants to have just as much power and say so about salvation as Christ does. Well, Jesus, you did your part. Now then, I got to do my part, and we can work together and bridge this gap from heaven to earth. Nope. No, you won't. Why? Your sin has separated you from God. How far? As far as heaven is above the earth. That's how far. See, men want to partially surrender. They want to partially surrender. They want to give up just what they can give up or want to give up and keep what they want to keep. Nope. Not and be saved, you won't. We want a ceasefire. We want God to compromise with us. Well, God, if you'll just do this, then I'll do this. Nope, no compromise. You know why? Because you are as far from God as the heaven is above the earth. That's how far your sin has separated you from God. And I tell you this, unless God strip a man of all he has to offer, unless God cast you out and set you alone like He did Jacob, you will never be saved. And when God intends to save a man, this is exactly what He'll do. He'll remove all your helps. He'll strip you of all your righteousness. He'll strip you and expose you of all that you really are by nature. Guilty sinners. That's what God exposes. He must expose us for what we really are. By nature, sinners. And all we can do is sin. That's what we can do. All of our righteousness, you listen to what God says in the, by the prophet Isaiah, all your righteousness, and that's the best you can do, are as menstrual cloths in the sight of God. That's the best we can do. So how far does this ladder have to reach in order for you to be accepted with God, in order for you to reach heaven? How high does this ladder have to go? It has to go all the way from the earth to heaven, which you and I cannot bridge. We cannot make. God must then expose us that we have no way to reach heaven. If a man has never been driven out and lost to see his lost estate, he'll never see the gulf that separates him and God. He'll never be able to understand his works cannot save him. And I'll tell you this, when God sets a man in the wilderness like he did Jacob, he's going to see this one thing. The bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself out on. And the covering is too narrow. He cannot cover himself. What is he talking about? He's talking about righteousness. Your righteousness is too short. Your righteousness cannot reach heaven. Your good works cannot reach glory. The covering of your self-righteousness cannot cover your nakedness before God. It may cover your nakedness before other men, but it won't cover your nakedness before God. I tell you, the ladder of free will works religion is too short. You know what what works religion reminds me of? It's the Tower of Babel. Those men said, "We will reach to heaven. We will build a tower that reaches to God." That's what man says with his works. I will do enough to please God. I will be moral enough. I will be righteous enough to please God. You know what God did to them? He confounded their language. What does God do with all false religion? He confounds their language. The language of false religion is so confusing. They say, "Oh," they sing that song, "Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Oh, but you know, but you've got to do something too." Well, wait a second. Does that make any sense to you? Jesus paid it all and you got something else to pay? No. That doesn't make any sense. Their language is confusing. That kind of language don't make any sense. False religion never makes any sense. But you listen to this. I'm going to show you a ladder that reaches all the way from earth to heaven. It was only accomplished by one man, Jesus Christ alone. Alone. By Himself, He bridged the gap between the sinner and God. Jesus Christ is this ladder that reaches all the way from earth to heaven. He is the only mediator that bridges the gulf from man to God and from God to man. First of all, this ladder, look at it. It was set up on the earth. What does this tell us? Well, behold the wisdom of God, that before sin was ever entered in to His creation, God purposed that Jesus Christ should be the representative of all His elect people. This was already purposed of God before there was ever sin, that Jesus Christ should be the Savior, that He should be the Redeemer. What was the promise, the first promise given to Adam when he sinned, after he had sinned? What was the first promise? The seed of the woman. What does that tell? He's going to be a man. That's what it said. He's going to be a man. And it is going to be a man that is going to crush the head of the serpent by the bruising of his heel. Scripture says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. You listen. This ladder was established upon earth by this. Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us. the eternal Son of God condescended to be made a man so that He might destroy the works of the devil, that He might put away sin, that He might restore righteousness. And by this, He builds the ladder all the way to God by His own hands, by His own works. Jesus was sent to establish righteousness and judgment. You listen. Just in the same way Adam was a representative man, Jesus Christ came to be a representative man. Okay, how did Adam represent us? Well, when Adam sinned, we all sinned when he sinned. When he sinned, we sinned in him. As I just quoted, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Why were we born dead? Because of Adam's sin. He was a representative man. Most men don't like that. They don't like that idea. Doesn't matter what you like, that's exactly how God says it is. You were representative by Adam. Do you suppose you could have done better? He was the best of us. But I'm thankful for representation because this is how God saves men. This is how men become a sinner, by a representative. But this is also how God saves men, by a representative man. Jesus Christ came to be a representative man. He was sent as a representative to accomplish what none of His people could do. None of us could reach heaven by our works. Jesus Christ, by His work, did. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse 18. Paul says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself," listen how, "by Jesus Christ." What is reconciliation? Isn't that bringing together? Right? We were separated from God by our sins. Jesus Christ, God had determined to reconcile, to bring together God and man by Jesus Christ. "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation," and this is the ministry, "to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them." Well, wait a second. Where did their trespasses go? If God was wanting to reconcile us to Himself, does it not stand to reason that He would be unjust just to overlook our transgression? Man being wicked and defiled. If you were to say, okay, that just take that school shooting. Okay, just recently, that guy killed the children. And you were to go, and the judge were to say, "Not guilty." I imagine there would be a little outrage, wouldn't you? A little indignation. Self-righteous indignation, but indignation nonetheless. We'd be upset. You suppose that if God did that, people would be okay with it? That's what people want God to do, just overlook my sin, just overlook my guilt. God can't overlook your guilt. God is just and holy, and He must punish sin. He must punish sin. How then can He reconcile the sinner to Himself by Christ? How is it that He can reconcile and not impute my trespasses to me? Look at verse 21. "For He hath made Christ to be sin for us." You see, God's not going to overlook any sin. God's going to punish all sin. And what did God do with the sins of His people, of His elect people? What did He do with them? He made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, who did no sin, and yet He was made sin for us. He bore my guilt and shame upon the tree of Calvary. And God poured out all His anger and justice on His Son. For what reason? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. By the work then of this ladder of grace, Christ firmly established by His flesh, and by His work He reaches all the way to God. Now I want you to pay close attention. He did it without any help from you or me. He did it all by Himself. Moses, when he said to make an altar, God told him, He said, Moses, when you make me an altar, I don't want you to take one hammer or one tool and shape it at all. I don't want you to touch it. He said, Moses, if you touch that altar in any way, you defile it. And you listen, you put any work of yours with the work of Christ, you defile His work. You make it of none effect to your soul. You add one thing to Him, you ruin it. He did it all by Himself. He did it all by Himself. And just so you know, I'm not just telling you this, I'll give you an illustration. The church of Galatia said, well, you need to believe in Jesus, that's good, but you just need to be circumcised. You need to add that one thing, circumcision. You know what Paul said? Christ shall profit you nothing. Nothing. You add one thing to Christ, you've ruined it. This work was done all by Himself. Christ is a ladder by which men are able to be accepted with God. The only one. The only one. His work is complete. You notice it didn't reach partial way. It went all the way. All the way. Second of all, we see the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. This shows that there is only one way that sinners are saved. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God but by Me. Have you seen that? If you have, why have you not come to God by Christ? Why would you not come to God by Him? And if you have, then listen, this is going to be a blessing to you. These angels ascending and descending. Now I know this does talk about angelic beings, and I have very little understanding about angelic beings. Don't know much at all about them at all. God uses them, they do work, and they are in work in God's providence of keeping and His people. I know that they are. So they do come from God. I know that to be with us. But this has greater purpose than just angelic beings. We who believe on Christ, listen, this is the way we ascend unto God. This is the only way we ascend unto God. If you're ever going to be accepted by God, you cannot be accepted in any other way, by coming to Christ. Therefore, we who believe should rejoice. We should rejoice in this truth. We have constant and perpetual access to God by Christ. As these angels were ascending and descending, even so this morning, we ascend into the presence of God before the throne of grace to find help. All right, who among us believers need help? Do you need help? I know it's a rhetorical question. You always need help. I know this because I always need help. Well, this should be comforting. As I view Christ as the ladder, I am able constantly, perpetually to ascend unto God. daily, in a moment's notice. The Scripture says what? Come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may be able to find help in time of trouble. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? You have such an high priest that understands. You have one that understands your trouble, one that understands your hurt, one that was inflicted in your pain, one that had his friends die, one that had his friends forsaken, one that needed help constantly, perpetually from God. Christ always depended on God for everything, didn't he? Don't you? Well, if we have such an high priest that ascended into heaven, we too are able to ascend into heaven and find help. But also I know this, they descend. What is that? The blessings of God, the providences of God, they're always pouring out on us. They're always protecting us. They're always keeping us. God is always. And how are these things done? By Jesus Christ. I know this. We sometimes, when we're doing well, we go to God and we are confident that God will hear us because we did well. And then it all turns to mess. Why? Because God will show us that you're not going to be heard because of you. You're going to be heard because of Him. I'm always heard because of Christ. He's my representative. He's my mediator. He's my high priest. He's my offering. He's my sacrifice. He's my righteousness, my salvation. He's my everything. And the only reason God's ever going to hear me is because of Him. God loves me because I'm in Him. God accepts me because I'm in Him. And so I go to God how? By Him. And how does God send me blessings? By Him. The reason you're blessed is because of Him. Not because you did well. You're blessed because He did well. And this is good because we're never robbed of our blessings. Even when you do wrong, God still blesses. This is grace. This is love. This is mercy that God made a way for us. And by this way, all our access is granted. And all the blessings rain down upon us. And I want you to see this. I've got plenty more. I've got plenty more. I'm not getting to, but I got plenty more. But I want you to see this. One more thing. Look at this in your text. This ladder, it is ascending. Look at verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Who is at the top of this ladder? It was God. What does this mean? He stood above it. You pay close attention. He's responsible for it. He's in charge of it. He purposed this ladder. He keeps this ladder. Friends, and He's responsible for it. That's what it means. He stood above it. You know, they used to have that, I believe it was Reagan that had that on his desk. The buck stops here. Oh, Truman. Truman, that's right. Truman, the buck stops here. You bet. In this matter of salvation and providence and everything, the buck stops at God. God is in control of everything. Everything. This one who purposed the ladder, who decreed it, the salvation, is God. And it is God who oversees it to make sure it's done. Go to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Learn a little of God. Behold Him. Isaiah chapter 46. And look at verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Listen, this is God declaring the end from the beginning. When did God declare the end of all things? Is He just making it up as He goes along? No. God declared the end at the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, listen, My counsel shall stand and I will do all My pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east. Now He gives an example. He's talking about Cyrus, that wicked king. He said, I'm going to take this wicked man and I'm going to use him to bring My people back to their land. That's how in charge of things I am. I use men that don't even know Me. Don't even worship Me. And I use them for My own glory and the good of My people. I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. You listen, whatsoever God decreed in eternity, that's exactly what's happening right now. Everything is moving right on schedule. Everything is moving exactly as God determined before the world began. Everything. Nothing is outside of the control or dominion of God. Nothing. And what is God's purpose? Look down at verse 13. The sovereign God, what is His purpose? Listen, I bring near My righteousness, and it shall not be far off. My salvation, it shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, My glory. The righteousness and salvation is Jesus Christ. The righteousness He obtained by His obedience and the blood, He obtained the atonement for sins. And what message He purposed and declared He now sends to rebellious sinners. This same message. Listen, I bring near My righteousness. Did I not just declare to you the righteousness of God this morning? Did I not bring it near to you? I brought it near. I showed you Christ is the ladder. Christ is the key. Christ is all. Why should you not believe on Him? Why should you not ascend by Christ to God and be accepted? Why should you not believe on Him? This is the preaching of the gospel. And yet some of you will not believe. Some of you will not come to Christ. Now let me ask you this. Is God's plan foiled? Is His purpose thwarted? Did God purpose something that didn't come to pass? Is His purpose disannulled? No, in Isaiah 14 He said this, For the Lord of hosts hath purposed it, who shall disannul it? None can or will ever upset the purpose of God. For the arm of the Lord is stretched out, who shall turn it back? The Lord stands above this ladder of salvation. He stands above the salvation and He oversees it. And listen what He says in that Isaiah 46. He said, I will. This is what God said. I will. Now who's going to disannul this? Who's going to turn it away? Who's going to change it? Who's going to mess with it? I will place salvation where? In Zion. Now Zion is always a picture of His church. Zion is a picture. This morning, you who are believers, you are the church. Buildings are not churches. God's people are the church. And this salvation is the gospel. He gives the gospel to Zion. And gospel is preached. It is declared. But listen, not all are going to believe it. Look at that. Who does He do it for? Who does He place this salvation in Zion for? For Israel. Not for everybody. For Israel. My glory. The Lord God, whose word cannot be broken, is the author and finisher of all the salvation of sinners. Why then will sinners not trust in Christ, but rather cling to their religion? Why will you trust in a salvation that doesn't reach all the way to heaven? Is that not an adequate question? Why would you trust in a work of yours that cannot reach to God? Why? I'm telling you of one that actually reached to God. And I'm telling you that God oversees this salvation. You see, man doesn't need a weak salvation. He needs something strong. And I'm telling you, God oversees this salvation. God purposed it. God accomplished it. And all who believe in Christ, I know this, you believe because God ordained it. Isn't that great? That's marvelous in our eyes. We were not looking for God. We were not seeking after Christ. And God gave Him to us. Isn't that something? Grace, grace, all of grace. Who then gets the glory for salvation? Who gets it all? God does. Why? He stands over it. And this I know, that though millions may reject Him, may not come to Him, I know this for sure, all that God gave to Christ will come to Him. All the elect of God will come, and not one of them will be lost. Jesus said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father which has sent me, that of all He hath given me, I should lose what? Nothing. Nothing. But raise it up again at the last day. Therefore, you who have come to God by Christ, because God stands above it, our salvation is sure. Sure. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. All my salvation depends solely upon God. And you know these promises He gives us. He says, I'll be with you. I will keep you. Why is it that you continue in the faith? Why? Because God keeps you. He said, I'm going to give you heaven. And not only am I going to give it to you, I'm going to make you fit for it. I'm going to make you acceptable for it. And I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. I am going to never leave you. I know people get mad at that and say, well, you're just encouraging men to sin. Not if you know Christ. No, no. Because in my sin, I see more of my need of Him, not less. I need Him. Christ is the ladder by which men may be able to ascend to God and be accepted. Why then will you not believe on Him? May God give you such grace to believe.